Quick question. How many of us like conflict?
I love it.
Steve says 50-50, depending. Can you live life without conflict?
No.
So I'm spending time this month, and I had planned ahead to talk about this, because I think if we don't understand this well, as men we stuff. At least I know I can stuff things. And take a long time to deal with it. And what it does, it poisons the system. You're quiet, you're not very much yourself. So it's stuff that it can help, and we can all talk together about how to do this better, okay? Proverbs 29:22 says, an angry man stirs up dissension, and hot-tempered one commits many sins. Two things. Anger. And what else?
Temper.
Commits many sins. Do you want to know why we get angry? What do you think we get angry?
Things are not going our way.
We don't understand.
Frustration.
Selfish nature.
Fear.
What?
Fear.
Disrespect.
That's
a big one. Not being understood.
Not being understood.
Not being understood.
Not being in control.
Not having patience.
Can I tell you? Yes.
Uncomfortable situation.
You want to say something? Essentially, it's an unmet need.
What?
An unmet need. True. You get angry because there's an unmet need somewhere. Huh. That's where it goes. When you look at it, it's a need you're having that's not being met. You're not handling it properly, so it creates anger. And then crits become hot-tempered and commit many more sins. You've seen it in traffic, right? You've seen how people drive around. It gets really crazy. And you've seen it happen to you. You've done it before. I mean, it was yesterday, I was driving with my daughter, and that guy went so quickly through the lights, and I'm like, then I said, I was once that guy, and I kept quiet quickly. So we've got to understand how that works. So an unmet need, you have to know how to get that need met. And that's why we talk how to get doing conflict better, is knowing how to deal with your needs well. Does that make sense? Because then you just get in your home, that's happening, at work, that's happening, on the street, that's happening, church, that's happening, and you're not really doing a good job. And it creates all kind of things that you can do. So I've put here dissension from the KKK King James Version. It's thinking, disagreements in opinion, usually a disagreement which is violent, producing warm debates or angry words, contention in words, strife, discord, quarrel, breach of friendship, union, debates, dissension, uproar of joy. Paul and Barnabas had a small dissension. That happened. I got that from the King James Version. All right? So we can have dissensions sometimes. Do you think it's okay to be, in our culture, is it okay just to have dissension? In our culture, is that okay?
I just think it's in our culture to be divisive in regards to the things that we want and how we live.
Yes.
I think with grace people, we have a lot of room for dissension in our culture.
Yes. Anybody else?
I think that you're either for us or against us. There's no common ground. You're all these days. If you don't align with my goals, you're automatically my enemy.
Exactly. So you go that direction.
Right.
You make it right or wrong.
Right.
You put black and white. You put them in corners.
Yeah, I think people have the dissension, the passion about what they believe, and that's what I think that's what really creates the more either physical or mental dissension.
Mental dissension, physical, yes.
Okay, I think in our culture, dissension is looked down upon.
Yeah.
Or to say
somebody
wrong.
Yeah. Okay. All right. The acts of sinful nature are obvious: sexual morality, impurity, debauchery, adultery, witchcraft, hatred, discord, jealous fits of rage, selfish ambition, dissension, faction. So we'll talk mainly about this too. This is more how it gets, and then move forward and see how we can handle that. So this is obvious, but we hardly talk about this when we talk about sin. When you study the Bible, did anyone ever talk to you about that?
Yes.
Yeah, talks about dissension. And we hardly look at it closely and say, am I doing similar things and what's going on? So this discordance is basically disagreeing opposition, inconsistency, discordance of opinion and sounds. It's like, have you ever had listened to music that is out of tune? Mm-hmm. How does it feel? Do you want to go to that band? You know these bands that play, what do you call them? Cover bands, and you go in there, you're like, man, you need to work on your music. You know, it's playing like Michael Jackson. You're messing it up and all of that. And that's the kind of thing we're talking about. So it's not bad, but is it done well? And we've got to learn to do this well as Christian men in our homes, in our lives, in our offices, in other places, and you'll see how this works well. So there are two types of conflict. This got from disagreement, which requires resolution, and relationship breakdown, which requires reconciliation. Which one do you think is common?
First one?
Disagreement which requires resolution?
The first one?
You think we don't think reconciliation?
You say it's common.
Yeah, which one is common?
Common?
I think
both are common.
Yeah.
But you can disagree with it, you know. I'm having a discussion. Both are common. And so, if you look at your work life, you have to deal with this quite regularly. If you look at your home, you may have to deal with this. If you look at your family, you have to deal with this. If you look at yourself, even within you, sometimes you need a reconciliation within yourself. Conflict shows itself in two ways. When people within a group have conflict, there's a group, or the group conflict. The two groups are divided. So, let's talk about the things that we can learn from here. Ephesians 4:25. How do you deal with conflict? Well, once is stop. So stop telling lies. Let us tell our neighbors the truth, for we are all parts of the same body. Question: is that easy?
No.
Why?
Because you're afraid. I'm afraid to be judged.
Thank you for choice of words. I am afraid.
You know, another thing is that I don't want to. I know if I'm going to tell the truth, it's going to tick them off, and I just don't want to deal with it. So it's better not to say. Not better, but you know, I just don't say anything. It's easier to not say something than to say something and cause a big, potentially cause me anger.
Okay.
Yeah, that's where I was going. You may not want to hear it.
This is very interesting. What if I don't hear it? What happens long term?
Well, it's more than just they don't want to hear it. I don't want to deal with them not wanting to hear it.
Yeah.
You don't want to deal with that. Okay. Anybody else? Yes.
I mean, long term, you're just gonna start bubbling up with rage over something that might have happened, whatever did happen, and it's just gonna cause so much strife within yourself. So it's better to just go ahead and say whatever you have to say, than just to let it fester within you.
But then that explains why, as men, we struggle with rage. That down. That's what we fly off, because we hardly talk to people. By socialization, we hardly talk through it. You're frustrated with your wife to the T, but you hardly talk through it. You hardly share how you really, really feel. You wondered why just a slight thing, there are people waiting to explore it. You may cut them off in the streets and that's it. They're coming for you. You're just a trigger point.
Right.
So we've got to do a better job talking through it. And this, you're doing safe people, you're doing all kind of things. So we've got to do a better job doing that. We do this well, we'll not avoid one another relationships. We'll love those relationships. We want to get involved. Mm-hmm. But when you do that well, you can also help somebody else know God, because you're clearing your system. It's such a crucial tool. When you're clearing your system, it's easier to help somebody else. When you're not doing that, you get depression and all that stuff comes from here, because you're not dealing. Am I making sense? And I think as men, this is our weak side. Women tend to do a good job talking through stuff. I know my wife will let me know how she feels. She'll let me know without thinking twice. Can we talk about it? Well, I may think about it for 4 days before I say, yeah, we got to talk about that stuff. We got to do a better job with that. So here it says, a man's discretion makes him slow to anger, and it is to go to overlook an offense, or prudent, in other words. just bring up everything. We talked about saying the truth. That does that mean I bring up everything?
No. No.
So how do you decide what to bring up and what not to bring up? That becomes a good question.
Yeah. I mean, my thought is you got to pick your battles, right?
Yeah.
But if something is, if you know something's going to cause you to kind of, you know, steam over, like we were talking about earlier, you have to know yourself well enough to say, okay, this is going to be a real problem if I don't have this resolved, right? So I really need to get this out in the right kind of way.
Yeah.
That's how it works. So you got to pick.
Yes. Yes.
So I ask a question. Am I willing, if this type of this thing is so important to me that I'm willing to have a conflict with my wife over it?
Mm-hmm.
And I find that typically when I'm in my right mind, most of the time that answer is no.
Okay.
But just, that goes back to the first thing, like, because my threshold is I don't want to have a conflict with my wife, then I'm gonna stuff until the things that I want to have a conflict with my wife about are gonna be to the level of, you know, things that I'll boil over, right? So if I was to use that same thought process, I'd probably never be open about stuff because I really don't want to have a conflict.
Oh, this is gonna be interesting.
I think that, for me, just trying to bring about the truth, sometimes if it's done with no thought and no feeling behind it, then it can come off and be perceived to be something other than, or you leave it open for that individual to assume the worst out of the situation. But if it's brought with love and with respect, I think you'll get a different outcome.
Okay. Yes.
I mean, maybe I'm jumping ahead a little bit, but a lot of this does depend on the relationship.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, what I mean is, and more so from men on men, I mean, the reality is if we are tight, if it's a tight relationship, and it's built on the fact that, you know, I can approach my brother and let him know how I'm feeling. Mm-hmm. And again, in a very objective way.
Right.
Again, I think we're also dealing with culture, because unfortunately, the culture has trained us to avoid feeling. Right? You know, I'll give you an example. Like even when my son was playing baseball, you know, the whole thing was, man, don't cry. You know, don't cry. You know, don't cry. You know, this and the other, right? And there's some. I get it to some extent, but at the same token, if it hurts. Sometimes a good cry makes it feel better. but the point is that I think, you know, if I know someone very well, I can use that discretion. Right? I know exactly that, you know what, I can give this person the benefit of the doubt. Right? At the same token, because I do know this person very well, I can approach him or her about what's going on, about an act that might be hurtful or has hurt me or hurt them or whatever it might be. Because of our relationship.
I hear you. Yes, sir.
Yeah, I think it's also a matter of timing, just being able to, you know, wait for the appropriate time to breach a subject. And it says, be slow to anger. It doesn't say, don't get angry. It just says, you know, take your time and not get angry immediately. So you just can't have knee-jerk reactions to situations.
Hmm.
You gotta pick the time when you're gonna have those particular conversations to resolve that conflict.
Pick your time, yes.
I always think about it as, like, can I go on having a great relationship with this brother first without talking about that? And if you can't just kind of forgive and overlook it, then you kind of look at their sinful nature. Is this going to be, you know, are they already repenting of a bunch and this is going to, you know, overwhelm them? Or, you know, is this going to be helpful to kind of share some sin that they're not aware of?
Okay. Yes.
Sorry, I know I'm jumping in a lot, but I think one of the things that I was hoping as we started talking about conflict resolution was the reason why I tend to not want to get into conflict is because I may not feel like I know the way out. Right? If I can find the way out that I know I have a productive way to get out, I may not be so afraid to get in it in the first place. The threshold would lower.
Right.
And I could have more of them because I know it'll be productive.
Right.
Right? As opposed to getting in and feeling like I don't know my way out.
Right. That's the real fear that holds everyone down. I don't want to say this because I don't know the way out. Now, the question was, how do you determine when to get in? The simple threshold. If you're waking up at night and you're thinking a lot about it, you need to talk about it.
Mm-hmm.
If it's keeping you up awake to 3 o'clock to 2 o'clock, it's time to deal with it. If you're sleeping and you're good and you're waking up and going like nothing happened, we're good. But if you're not sleeping, deal with that stuff because it's getting in your way. It's getting in your way. You're not doing a good job. But if you're sleeping, you can overlook that. But if you're not sleeping, it's time to say, okay, you know what? And then how? Safe people is what's going to help you with that stuff. How do you say that stuff? How do you go about it? And you're not in to win. You're not in to be right. You're not in to be righteous.
Amen.
And I think that's the hard part for men. You're going to a conversation to win. You don't want to talk about, you kind of made up your mind, I covered all the grounds, he has to say yes, no. Or she has to say yes, no. It's not a winning game. It's a righteous game. Once you figure that out, you can talk about anything. If it's a winning game, you can't go anywhere. In other words, you said you beat, it's done. Yes?
I think it's so good that Perry just said that, and following up with what you said, that you don't know the way out. I think the principle is when we start walking by faith, we trust God's promise.
Right. Exactly.
You know, this says to tell the truth. We don't necessarily always know how we're going to get out of the situation. We have to walk in faith.
And the more we do that, the more we grow as men, the more the families grow, the more we can touch the lost world, the more we can touch each other.
Mm-hmm.
Yes?
So I think as we develop relationships, we become closer. And the closer you come with somebody, the more their flaws become evident, you know, or their imperfections, let's say. You become more aware of them because you have a better relationship with them. And if you bring it up and say, hey, you know, man, I've been noticing lately that this is going on, the response may be take you totally off guard because it's, well, here's what's going on, this is what I'm dealing with, and I appreciate you saying it. So you may think that it's motivated by one thing, and then after bringing it up and talking about it, you'll find out that it's actually generated from a totally different area, and he was unaware of the fact that this was going on. Or it's just, as you get deeper in a friendship relationship or any kind of relationship, if you're married or whatever, you see the imperfections of the human being, and you just have to either, you have to accept them. We're all flawed. Nobody's perfect. And it's just a matter of how you deal with them. You bring it up in conversation and get to know, okay, why are they dealing with this? You know, you never know what you're going to find out when you bring it up in a loving, you know, meaningful way. You're not just, hey, this is what's going on, you're driving me mad, you know.
And that's what Kyle was talking about. Because the relationship is needed, but the closer you get, the more sometimes it can hurt.
Yeah.
That's just the way it can be sometimes. So you know when to pass on when you're not sleeping, then you need to deal with it. If you are, don't make a big deal out of it. An offended friend is harder to win back than a fortified city. Arguments separate friends like a gate locked with bars. Why is that?
I think it goes back to what you said, man. It's, you're in a position that you want to win, or it's, I mean, what's right and what's right. And it's hard to separate the two in the moment.
In the moment, you can have a hard time separating being righteous and being right. Yes.
You know, because it's hard to win a friend back. It's the same thing. It's similar to, you know, betraying. It hurts more when a friend lies to you than it does when just some random dude lies to me. Some random dude lies to me, it's like, I'll never see you again. And, okay, whatever. You know, it ticks me off, but you know, if my best friend lies to me, that's completely different because there's that level of trust, and it's, I appreciate there's a similar thing going on there, you know?
Yeah.
When you hurt a friend or your friend hurts you, whether it's betrayal or just a disagreement, because you've already opened yourself up to them, it hurts a lot more than just some dude cutting you off in traffic.
Okay.
And so it takes, it's a deeper wound, it's going to be a longer time to heal.
Deeper wound will take time to heal. Anyone knows how to run the system back here?
It'll take a minute or two.
Okay. There's another hand somewhere. Yes?
I think it's a lot about trust.
you know, you've got a relationship built on trust, and then you break that trust. It takes seconds to break trust. It takes a long time to build it,
right,
especially to rebuild it.
Right.
So here's what I think we have to do better is, if you read the Bible and talks about reconciliation, that part is very important.
And just learning to reconnect with people and not pulling them away just because something happened. I think it's very easy to put people away because something happened. And put them in your mind that went totally lock them out and said, this guy, I can't deal with it. Do you think that'll be of God?
No.
That's just like the world, right? If something happens and I put Jean-Claude, I said, this guy, one time happened, I'm dealing with Jean-Claude again. What's that? Mm-hmm. That's the wall right there.
Right.
The kingdom is different. How different is it?
Mm-hmm.
How different is it?
We have to
be vulnerable.
Go ahead.
As a disciple, you say you forgive someone and you know, you're like, I'm done with that person. And you don't want to, you know, have to sit down or talk with them. And you know that you truly haven't forgiven them.
Yes.
You know, it's interesting because it's, I mean, of course, I don't think we want to simplify it, but I think, because there's two sides, right, to this whole thing. The person who may have hurt someone and the person who's hurt.
Yeah.
And the person that's hurt, you know, if I've hurt you, of course, I want you to forgive me, I want to reconcile with me forward. But at the same token, I've got to be patient. And I've got to trust God, because that person may not be ready.
Correct.
Does it mean they're any less spiritual? No, it just means that right now that they're not ready. Right? And it could be a maturity thing, it could be whatever, but it's a situation where I'm going to have to pray about it. Right? I mean, I know what the scripture says, but if they're not there yet, me trying to make them talk to me is only going to make the situation worse.
Right. Uh-huh. Yes.
I think it's similar with that. I know that there's been situations in my past, and I mean, I know that I came from a big campus ministry, and so if I had an issue with somebody, it could be like one of those, like, you know what, I'm not going to talk to that person. I got other people that I can work with, and I feel like that could be something that could be really easy to do.
Yeah.
But I also recognize that there might be different points in the relationship that you recognize it could be a hindrance to you spiritually to be going into that situation with, whether it be that the person's pride is blocking them from actually seeing what's actually going wrong in their character, and it ends up turning and getting you heated because the way that the person responds. And a lot of times I never knew if it was the position of me needing to say something or some way that maybe he respected that needed to say something. But try to find that right person so that they can bring the light to them.
Well, sometimes a guy doesn't ever see it. Never see it. What are you going to do? Because that's what we've got to be open to the fact that sometimes this person's never going to see it as you're trying to talk about. Does that make sense? And how you handle that is very important, because if we don't do a good job, we put each other in boxes through and through and through, and then before we know it, there's no church. Before that. Because we're all doing boxing and boxing. What happened to the body of Christ? We no longer have a relationship because we keep isolating. So it was a big pull, you had a relationship, but before you know it, you have no relationship because everybody has done something.
Yeah, I think that's where prayer comes in. You know, praying about the, you know, I think feeling like you have that safe connection with God where you can pray,
right,
and talk to God how you honestly feel, and asking God to give you insight how to handle that situation. Because I think that's, you know, sometimes it's easy for us to go on our own wits, own understanding. But I think, you know, this, you know, pray about the situation or difficulty.
I know you said something. If you don't deal with that stuff, it gets in the way of growth. Mm-hmm. It stunts you. This issues that we think you can just overlook, if you don't deal with how you're feeling and things that get in the way, you don't grow spiritually, it just stunts you down. Yes.
What he said, you know, also, not only does it stunt your growth, it affects how other disciples are going to interact with you. You know, I think of a certain family member that is completely unforgiving. It's gotten to the point now, I'm the only one in the family she'll talk to. She won't talk to anyone else in the family. And it also be one of those things where I'm afraid to say anything to her because, like, you know, she's still family, so I still love her. I'm like, well, if I don't want to screw it up, you know, so we put, because other people see when we can see when someone's like being clearly unforgiving, and so then it makes even worse, because now you're not only isolating that person, you end up isolating everyone around that person, and the more you do it, it's just, yeah, and you just end up alone, then, yeah, even the people you don't cut off, cut you off.
There we go.
I believe that in the kingdom, we should be men enough to confront each other. And if something is bothering us, you know, we should be able to talk about it. And if we think we can't talk about it, then we bring a third person in. And if it's something like you say, if it's going to be something that you said on an argument, we're men. We could argue about pretty much anything, basketball, baseball, politics, but we're here, and that makes us different. So being here and being with people from here and socializing with people from here, if we have something to say to each other, something that maybe somebody said to me, listen, David, I think you're struggling with this, and I got offended by it, maybe I'm the one with the problem, and I should look at that brother or find somebody else and say, listen, this person told me this. I think we should sit down and talk about it. And not just brush it off like, oh, you know, all right, you know, I'll take care of it. Or we're in the kingdom. We should have at least that safety within each other here to talk about things that might have been said, might have been done, or our kids might have done, or, you know, our wife might have said. Because this is what we got. You know, we're out there, and we also have our struggles with people out there. And that, you know, out there, we have to separate ourselves even more because, you know, we have a higher standard, you know. But here, I think here we could let our guard down and just, you know, just say, hey, you know, if you're in a group or anything like that, people start knowing you, and there's things that in your life you got to fix, then you should be able to have at least that safety zone that you can reach out to a brother and say, listen, man, you know, I think we should talk about this, or I saw this. One another, because iron sharpens iron. So, you know, we should have that within each other.
Okay. Amen.
I think what I have a real conviction on, and I think we all share this, but I have a real conviction that it's the cross that saves, not perfection. And when I'm with somebody and they don't get it, I realize that it's not their obligation to get it that's going to get them into heaven. That price was already paid on the cross. And there's a lot of things I don't get. So if I measure them by the standard of whether they get it, then I'm also going to be measured by that same standard.
Mm. I think that's what, let's end there and understand that if you go to the cross, it's easy to let go. Because mm-hmm. God forgave you when you're not ready. But as you said, sometimes they're just not getting it, as Kyle put it. And they're not ready at that time. It's not your place to now force it on them. Because you've got to pray for them and keep walking through these things. But for us to develop deeper, stronger relationships going forward, we have to do a better job with just dealing with things. Because then we avoid each other and become superficial. And conflict has a way of coming around again and again and again. And we don't know how to deal with that. He had put it that sometimes we don't want to get in because we don't have the answer. But as we develop relationships and get to understand timing, we start going in the right direction. Why must we deal with conflict? Here are some reasons I put out here. Conflict destroys unity and relationships among a group or a church for that matter. Resolution brings new levels of honesty and safety. If you deal with it, it brings you to another level. If you don't deal with it, it takes away everything you've been building. Mm-hmm. You follow that? So, and dealing with it is not necessarily getting your way. It's coming to a place where you've been honest and in a good relationship place and you set things up and you move in the right direction. This practice is in line with the five principles of a godly culture we are building. You know the five things we're talking about?
Complete safety,
all that stuff. Safety, authenticity, care, help, growth.
If you don't, if we do all that stuff, we're trying to do it. But to do it, we have to go through the conflict issues as well. You don't go through it by pretending. We have to walk through it. And then a spiritual formation takes place if we handle conflict properly. You see, you've got to have gone through it and gone through it and gone out of it. That's when the formation takes hold. You've understood the struggle. You've gone through it and gone to the other end. You come out and say, it actually works. I practiced the Bible. We had conversations, we forgave, and we moved forward. So think of Judas and how Jesus treated him. Okay, let me share my story. I think that, right, and you're right to that. Sometimes you get in conflicts, you deal with things, and then they're done. And sometimes you talk to someone, and then they say sorry to you. But you kind of hinged your forgiveness on, he has to say sorry. He doesn't say sorry, I'm not moving. You follow that? I'm holding him like, you're going to say sorry. And he doesn't say sorry. And I remember going through it. I'm like, what is it when I see this guy get a little bit out of window with just this guy? And I realized that I mortgaged my life with a spouse because I was waiting for him to be nice to me. I mortgaged my future. I'd be having a bliss until I saw him. And I would have the worst day because I talked to him and it acted the same way. I'm like, how can you be so dismissive? And I think that part of knowing God is raising above your circumstances. Part of knowing God is not holding a grudge and living for him to avenge it. But that's hard for men. We control, don't we? We like to know what's going to happen. We manage our budgets. We manage our families. We want to know 401k, what's that looking like? We are in charge of this stuff. And then God says, you trust me. How does that work? And when you don't do that, you complicate your life. It really becomes difficult. This is a huge step. If we can understand how Jesus did for us on the cross, forgive them for they do not know what they're doing, then it's an amazing place to be. Now, sometimes they know what they're doing. They're putting you on the cross. Well, I think it's kind of a place of, it's not about me, it's about you, God. When you make it about God, it gets me. You can walk with it. If you make it about you, you can't walk with it. Because it's very, as a human being, you're violated. You don't understand how can that, but make it about God, it gives you the strength to overcome that. Okay, tips on handling conflict. Check your attitude and motivation. I'll take two on this. Why do you need to check your attitude and motivation?
Sometimes you don't notice, like if you, when you say something slick, or if you your motivations are just wrong.
Yeah.
On trying to be right.
Yep. Yes.
Sometimes we don't take the time to examine what our motivation truly is. It's like we just know. Like, I have this conflict. I need to, I hurt his feelings, or my feelings are hurt. This needs to be resolved. We never take the time to ask ourselves, well, why? Like, why am I feeling this way about this particular conflict?
Okay. Correct. Sorry, I cut you. Sorry.
So we don't. So even though we may think that we have resolved the conflict, we may have not resolved the issue.
So take time. You're better off taking a week or two or three than jumping in when you're still angry, because Ranga doesn't bring about righteousness.
It's good to check your attitude, because sometimes you may not even know how you feel or why you feel what you feel.
Yeah, sometimes it's not clear to you.
After thinking through it, you may realize that's nothing to do with that person, what they did. It's something else that happened last week.
That's true. There's all stuff that can come to you. Second, affirm and validate the person or relationship. When you affirm, you affirm the person. You never make the person be the same as the problem. You understand that? There's a problem and there's a person. The person is great. It's what they're doing. That's what you got to stay with. So if we learn to do that well, relationships don't break apart. But if we put the problem and the person together, there'll be no relationships. We'll all be afraid and stay in our corners, and we can't have strong, deep relationships. Affirm, validate the person's relationship. That's important. Validate what's going on. To validate, simply say, okay, what is validation? Let me not be the only one asking. Yes.
You value what you have. You
value what you have? Yes?
Acknowledge one's worth.
Acknowledge one's worth?
It is different, but yes.
Okay, yes, what?
I think a part of it is acknowledging and respecting how the other person feels or what they're thinking.
So you cannot, you see why anger doesn't allow you to do that. Mm. Anger does not allow all that system to take place. Because when you're angry, you just... when I look at my life, my anger is when I'm angry, I'm at my worst. I do a better job when I'm calm. I've said things, I'm like, why did I say that? I'm just angry. I mean, there's a day, I think Mike calls me and I'm like, pep! And I'm like, okay, so why did I say that? And I will say, I'm sorry. Because at that point, I realize it's nothing to do with it. It's me trying to settle down with something here, what's going on. If you don't get that right, observing yourself is very important. Otherwise, you make it all about other people. But the Bible says sin comes from within. But it's in the point of whoa. No. It's me who's getting triggered with my issues. So I got to learn to deal with me, then repent. And then I can help the other guy. We'll take one more. Yes?
I was just going to say, validate, the root word is valid, which is truth.
Yeah.
And so basically what you're saying is there's some truth to what you're saying.
Yeah.
I give merit to where you're coming from.
Exactly. Name the reality. Because there's a reality there, they feel it.
Right.
So name that reality. It doesn't have to be right. It's good to face the reality. You may be wrong, but just name the reality. You need to know, okay, this is what you're feeling. You may be wrong or right, but it's good to... The person needs to know that they've been hurt in that reality. This is what I was thinking. Name that reality, and then we can move on to other things. Okay? Allow the other party to respond. Maybe go into a conversation and you don't want the other person to respond. Just tell their story. They will not tell their story because then you're being defensive, you're being proud. Well, can I tell my story though?
That's true.
I thought it was a conversation. How can I then convince one way? Can I tell my story as well? Make sense? You're being defensive, you're being proud. No, you're telling a story. You're given that opportunity. It helps to build relationships.
Tell you what it is before you get there instead of wasting our time, but that's not my
purpose.
Talk to them, not at them.
Talk to them, not at them. The truth is that nobody knows what you're going to say. Mm-hmm. I may have an idea, but I don't know what you're going to say. Yes?
I I think a lot of times they could even like shut the other person down to the point where they don't want to talk. And
yeah.
In turn, that's a dangerous place for that person not being able to open up with other people.
Exactly. Then sin starts to come in the church because now we're not talking. So sin just takes over. Now we're not talking, so sin just faster than the system.
Yeah, especially when there's conflict, we can be building like the other side of the person's argument for them in our heads. Like,
yeah.
We're building up this like, oh, they're just doing this to get at me, or they're just, or you know, they just don't understand. We almost build the side of their conversation for them in our heads. So
yeah.
I mean, I kind of think this is where the rubber meets the road, because you know, if you're not allowing the other person to respond, you're really not working towards reconciliation. You're trying to win.
Exactly.
Reconciliation is not winning, it's bringing it back together.
Right.
Yeah, I think a lot of the problem for myself becomes, I think once they understand how I was feeling in those moments that I hurt them, that the issue will go away. Because all of a sudden, like, oh, I understand logically how you reacted the way you did, so now I don't feel bad anymore. But in reality, they still are hurt by it. It's still a problem.
Some people do that. It goes away once they understand.
Right.
Some people still have a sting. Okay, so have a conversation. I said let them respond, but then have a conversation. When you're having a conversation, you're not, who said not talk to them, not ask them. Have a conversation. Back and forth. Have a conversation. You feel valued, respected, people that are happening. That's a conversation you're having. You're not winning, you're having a conversation. Formulate a solution together, work towards that. Group issues need to be dealt with within the group, so that's good, so that you just fix it there and move forward, and it helps to work well. I'd hope to show you how Samuel and Saul worked that out, but we are out of time, so I can't get to that one. We'll talk next week. But I hope it helped, and as you go home, trying to put that in practice in your home, with your children, your wife, as you get the offices tomorrow, it may come up. Pray about it, and let that help our one another nation moving forward. God bless you. Have a great time.